Here we go. Finally, a face to the name. I would love to start just by talking about your background, and you seem to be doing a lot of things. I don't know if that's just my impression.
Too much,
but yeah.
Is the correct term.
What's the short version?
Well, how far back would you like me to go?
Maybe we can just start with what you're doing right now.
Okay, so right now I'm finishing up my first like real full-time job. I was a contractor with the company for 6 months, and then I joined the team full-time for 8 months. And now I'm heading out back on my own. I had been working on my own for about 10 years before that. So this was like an attempt. I'm not sure if we're going to do it again. But now I'm going back out on my own. I'm figuring out what my next business is going to be. I've got a small productized service that's based off of my last business that I sold. That's in podcast production. And then I've got a big list of ideas, and I've been ranking them and testing them and scoring them. And I'm going to be trying out a few. And so the project, the way I'm thinking of it, I'm following Highlander rules. If you remember that movie from back then. So this was like a series of movies in the 90s, and I think it might have started in the 80s, where there's a bunch of immortals who like have sword fights and battle each other. And when they kill one another, they absorb the other's powers. And so the phrase, like the catchphrase for the whole series, is there can only be one, because they're going to kill everyone else. And so it follows a character called the Highlander throughout the series. But that's how I'm doing my business ideas. So I'm testing them. I'm putting them head to head. And I'm going to just keep dropping them until I have one idea left. Then I'm going to scale that to like 8 figures and sell it and retire.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. I love the analogy. I love the plan and the ambition, of course. That's really cool. And your productized service is also already doing quite well, if I remember correctly. I think you posted some numbers on Twitter a while ago, right?
Yeah, it's doing all right. When I launched a similar business before, we grew a little faster, but I was also like pressing the pedal to the metal. This time I've got a GM who really runs everything in the day-to-day, who does all the sales, does all the operations management. And so I don't really run the business, which is quite nice, but it's doing a few thousand a month right now. And I end up with around a 30-40% margin on that. My GM takes a cut as well. And I think end of this year, we'll probably be doing between like 6 and 10,000 a month, just depending on how some of our bigger deals work out. So
nice.
For the couple hours a week I put in, it's great.
Nice. Yeah. And it's what's the service exactly? Because I think it's not something very unique, right? It's really just
super boring. And this is, to be clear, this is my third business doing this business.
Okay.
So I've done it as like a very custom solution. I did it as a white label solution, and I sold that business. And then I had a non-compete. It ran out, and then I launched this much more productized version of the same thing. And so it's just podcast post-production. We do your editing. We make your audio sound great. We clean up your videos. We put on intros, outros. We create a transcript, and now we're getting into creating social videos, just repurposing as sort of the next little upsell. So yeah, it's nice. A super boring business. It's nothing special whatsoever. We grow it on Twitter DMs exclusively right now because the GM doesn't have time to do anything else.
Interesting. So this is your channel.
I mean, it's the channel I'm playing around in right now. You know, my background is much more SEO, LinkedIn content, email outreach, PR kind of stuff. A lot of podcast placement and appearing on shows and referrals and channel sales. But past year, like that's what I've been doing for the company at my job, and why I got hired was because I was a contractor working on Twitter growth. I took an account from 20 to 150,000 for them. And Twitter, I'm realizing, is the best place to network, the best place to build relationships, and probably the best social channel for testing content ideas and generally testing ideas around right now. They don't have the same limits on connections that LinkedIn have. They still have some organic reach, and it's nice B2B tech heavy, which is where I sell mostly.
Yeah, Twitter is the new LinkedIn, right? So what, you're using any tool or you're doing it manually?
This is actually manually. We have some tools we could use, we just don't. Like I built an automated outreach system in ClickUp for Twitter, and I know there's a few Twitter DM tools out there for this particular purpose, but most of them are a little slow. They just don't work right yet. They haven't been optimized. And so if it's not as good as email outreach tools, I don't really want to use it because it's often not worth the lift.
Interesting. And how do you find leads on Twitter? Because I can figure out like what for email, there are so many tools and platforms, whatever, but what are you using for Twitter?
Keywords, lists, and search. Like just very, this is a bare bones operation, but I
very
think
it'll manually.
Get us, yeah, it'll get us to at least another few thousand a month.
Nice. And how many people do you reach out to per day?
I honestly don't know because like I'm just not involved in that.
Oh, okay.
I know on a monthly basis, we probably reach out to a few hundred people. So
yeah,
it's
just
not a
order of magnitude.
Number. We're hiring a few team members right now. So that way my GM has more time to sell because right now he also does like all of the editing. So we're going to put two people under him so that way he can just sell full time and then he'll probably be doing 50 to 100 outreach a day.
Interesting. Yeah, it's always cool to hear about what channels are working for different kind of products and services. Super interesting. I had no idea. Yeah, no idea. So
just do the boring stuff repeatedly.
Exactly. So let's talk about your ideas because this is why I reached out and said, let's talk, right? Because you posted this screenshot from your notes app where you just had, okay, my favorite business ideas right now. And they are not ranked. It's just a random list, but I love almost all of them. But what's your favorite?
So
from the list.
Yeah, so I actually wrote about this in my newsletter this past week. I've got it down to a top five. My number one on the list is ClickUp Consulting and Productized Service. I'm a huge ClickUp fan. I hate Notion. I think it's a terrible tool. I don't know why anyone would use Notion. ClickUp's amazing, though. It's maybe the best project management tool I've ever seen. And it's also a great structured data tool, so you can do a lot in it. You can really build an operating system for a business. My last business, one of the big assets in the sale was the ClickUp operation I had set up in there. And now with my current businesses, that's a big part of it. I built a ClickUp instance for a $5 million a year business, and they were able to, they reduced their number of meetings by 60% related to the operations in ClickUp because it just organized the data so much better. So I'm a huge ClickUp fan. They've raised hundreds of millions of dollars. I think they're going to be a multi-billion dollar company. I love the team. They're all great. And I'm like, yeah, if I'm going to bet on something, this is a boring business. It's a managed service in implementation. Like people do this for Salesforce. So it's boring and I know people will pay for it. That's an ideal business in tech.
Yeah, I guess you just have to look at HubSpot and whatever. And there's like a huge market for consulting and you can just copy these kind of services and even productized services that exist around that just for a new ecosystem, right? That's the idea.
That's actually how I built the landing page for this. I took HubSnacks, which is a productized service for HubSpot. And I didn't quite copy their pricing entirely, but very closely mimicked their pricing and also mimicked their landing page setup. And I know they're like upper seven or low eight figures. So they've managed to reach a good size.
That's fascinating. Cool. Yeah. Again, boring, but boring wins. Nice.
Buy, borrow, steal. Like that's it.
Yeah. Nice. What's the next favorite?
Yeah. So next up is a no-code marketplace and influencer content agency. So like if I came to you and said, hey, Jacob, I've got a no-code company and they want to pay you $500 per hour-long video of you building out a side project in their tool. Would you want that?
Say it again. I didn't get the idea.
So there's like, you know, no code tools. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, sure.
And they're mostly venture backed. And they need people to know how to use their tool.
So you're thinking something like Bubble, right?
Yeah, sure. Let's say Bubble is an example. So Bubble, we would reach out to Bubble and say, hey, we can find influencers and content creators to do user-generated content for you around using Bubble to build projects.
Interesting. Because, I mean, there are already user-generated content marketplaces, right? I'm just thinking TikTok, for example.
This is no code and this is a very niche.
It's a niche job board, if you want, or gig board or whatever, and niche marketplace. And why, the correct analogy are job boards, right? Of course, there are big job boards like Indeed, whatever.
I think Upwork, actually. So the way I would build this is I'd actually set it up as a marketplace to hire experts in these tools. But then you can identify which experts are good teachers and content creators, and then run a boutique service to the no-code companies to manage those relationships and create the content for them. But the marketplace brings in the creators on its own because they're looking for more work.
Yeah, interesting idea. I guess the key challenge is, of course, that it's a marketplace, right? So getting it going is...
Marketplace. That's the secret, right? It's actually, again, this is a productized service all over again.
Interesting. Okay.
It just looks like one from the outside.
How would you pull it off? Like, you would just do the matchmaking manually behind the scenes, or...
Yeah. Oh, 100%. What you're doing, if you're doing under 1,000 match or yeah, under, I'll say under 1,000 matches a day, you can absolutely brute force it with people.
Yeah.
Like, so, give me an Airtable with a bunch of tags in it that I can sort. Boom. I can give you 3 matches in under 5 minutes, and I can teach a VA to do that.
Yeah. So the idea really would be to find these creators on Twitter, TikTok, whatever, then reach out to them and ask them if they want more clients, or if they want to do like user generated content. And then once you have that, you figure out the other side, just cold outreach to companies.
I would actually go the other way, get the money first. So that's
okay.
Like the way, and this is one I'm actually testing with a partner, because we had a website laying around that's DA48, the no code. And we're not doing anything with it right now. And he's like a Zapier and no-code expert and has run an agency in the space and has a lot of experience. So what he's doing is he's going to make like a 15, 20-minute video of him making a really small project, like a to-do list or a Hello World kind of thing in each no-code tool, along with a little review for our directory. So we get a piece of content for our website to help grow that SEO. And then we're going to email the no-code app and say, hey, we just made this piece of content. We've got 3 packages of sponsorship that you can buy. And the middle level and the upper tier package both come with content. And so we'll create the content if we can't find an influencer to do it. And then that, I think that one we're hoping we can do like 20, 30,000 this year. And then like a 250,000 to 300,000 next year.
Cool. Who's your partner?
So that's a guy by the name of Will Christensen. He and I met in a mastermind about 4 or 5 years ago now. Yeah, we've done a couple small business deals, and then this is sort of our first longer term project together.
Cool. Yeah, I like it. Well, what's your next? What's the third favorite on the list?
So the third one I'm not actually making right now, but it is hard for me not to want to go into this. It's a B2B influencer management agency and like accelerator for businesses on the other side. So you reach out to these big guys on Twitter who have like 100, 200,000 followers, and they're in B2B. They have these audiences already. You say, hey, I'll manage and get you more sponsorship deals and more speaking gigs and appearance fees and conferences if you want, like any of that. But then I'm also going to go find like equity or cash flowing businesses where we can make rev share deals or profit share deals, and you can get pieces of these businesses and their cash flows in exchange for just promoting them. And I'm going to find like 5 or 10 of those businesses, and I'm going to put them in one cohort together with maybe 1 or 2 influencers, and the influencers will tweet about the business and automatically grow it. And then once a week or once every other week, they'll all sit down and do like a cohort mentorship group coaching kind of thing. And the influencers then take like 5 or 10% of the business.
Cool. Yeah. The one case study that comes to mind is, of course, JK Molina, what it is with the Tweet Hunter guys, right? This is one of these stories. Do you know any other?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Copy.ai did this. They hired Blake Amahl as their CMO because he was growing so fast. Like Growth Assistant, the company that I'm leaving, did this with Jesse Pooji. They went from, they're on track to do like, call it 6-7 million ARR this year. It's their first full year of business. And 60-70% of our leads come from Twitter.
Yeah, you wrote a great tweet, a thread about it. I just read it because you
this
sent
morning.
It to me. And yeah, it's interesting because you describe kind of like the funnel you have in place, which, yeah, these threads. And at the end, it's a type form. And then you get that many impressions, that many people, 500,000 impressions, right? Then 50 people click on the link. And in the end, it's 1 or 2 meetings. And it works, right? It's just a numbers game. And if you can get the attention, you can also make the sale eventually. So really cool.
Yeah, that's like when I saw that from the inside, that's when I was like, man, I think if somebody builds this like accelerator agency combo, that's a $10 or $20 million business at least.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really cool idea to, because there are lots of opportunities, and I was also wondering, why don't we see this happen more often, right? Because just yesterday, it's funny, a friend of mine has actually 150,000 followers on Twitter, and he's not monetizing, like, really, in any way.
That's at least $1 million a year just sitting there that he's passing.
Yeah, and he was thinking like smaller things, like, you know, if you post a thread, you can plug in, like, actually ClickUp reached out to him and asked him like about these a little shout out here and there, and they're paying $1,000 for a shout out. But honestly, I don't know. That's not as interesting.
I know a guy also from ClickUp, and maybe I shouldn't be giving away all their detail. But I know a guy who's doing 2 threads a month for them in exchange for $600, and he only has like 10,000 followers.
Crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I think these niche, like B2B businesses, there's a massive market for these sort of influencer deals, and I don't think it's filled. Yeah. I don't think there is any B2B influencer agency or like a UGC agency at this point. And that seems to me like that's the market gap that I'm kind of looking at. Maybe I should be tackling.
Yeah, because this really is the best way to monetize like an audience. And you see it like with all the influencer, the old school B2B influencers, like everyone has moved on. Everyone starts with like shitty info products and selling a course. And then eventually it starts selling software, right? Because then it's something real. And just, you don't have to be a genius. You just have to find the right partners. And if you can be the person in the middle that makes the right connections, I mean, it's a win-win-win. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And personally, like if I was doing this, I would probably focus on productized services. They're faster to cash flow, much less CapEx than SaaS. People don't have crazy valuation assumptions around them either. And so the revenue bump that an influencer can bring can be much more meaningful.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, and you also have like some Twitter idea on your, also another related idea, right? Growth marketplace.
Yeah, so like there's no marketplace for Twitter ghostwriters and Twitter growth specialists. It's actually really hard to find and hire people who know how to grow on Twitter effectively. I think you know about this from Tweets on Demand, right?
Yeah, Yeah, I have strong opinions and I know a lot, actually.
Yeah, and so like I've obviously been working in this space as well. I think this is a big need for people, especially on the higher end. And I think there's a gap in the marketplace around that the vetting of that knowledge, because that's the hard part is there's a billion guys who call themselves a Twitter ghostwriter who haven't done anything.
Yeah. I mean, we all got like DMs from people with 500 followers offering their ghostwriting services.
And I mean, I've had some guys who have 30, 40,000 followers who, when they actually like deliver content, it's terrible. And they're just scamming.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, yeah, there are ways to fake the numbers, and I mean this, it's also difficult because a lot of shady stuff is going on. And I don't want to name any names, but even like the very famous and people who make a lot of money with these ghostwriting services, I wouldn't consider it very ethical what's going on in many regards.
Oh
So
no, let's dig in. Unless you have a ton of listeners, we don't have to tweet about this, so let's dig in.
Yeah, no,
Because
I
I know
mean,
some of these backroom deals as well.
yeah, I mean the most obvious thing that what they are doing, obviously, officially, like they are doing like the ghostwriting, but of course also they then use their network of accounts to boost like clients' tweets like inorganically just to boost them. And it's obviously not because the content is so great that they are writing, but just what they are really selling is retweets.
Yep.
Right, that's really it, and it's just ghostwriting is like the is the surface level offer, and people don't pay for that actually, though this is not really the offer. And yeah, it's kind of sad because like the better way to win is if you're actually able to write good content and understand like okay how to grow organically and not like cheating.
Yeah.
You could call it like with steroids or whatever you want to call it. And I mean, there's also
Steroids
some
is the perfect example because it
there
causes your account to grow fast, but you end up with a largely unengaged following. And I think a lot of Twitter growth hacks can have this effect. Like with one account, we really grew on one topic and like one type of thread that we put one out every week. It would always go viral, it would always hit. And what ended up happening was that grew the audience, but they were only interested in this one thing.
And I mean this is absolutely true for the people who just write these generic threads, right? 10 mental models, 10 browser extensions, whatever. And I mean, yeah, quality, quantity, two different things. And I've actually written about that, right? Would you rather have like an account with 100,000 poor followers, or would you have an account with 10 followers, but it's Paul Graham on Peter Thiel and Elon Musk or whatever, right? And obviously, right? So quality matters, and yeah, building like a real following is hard work, but it's also worth it because, like you said, right? It's an engaged following, and it's like with email lists. Right, you can get a lot of subscribers fast, but it's just not the same if you're actually having like important people on your list and people with buying power. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why I call it Twitter growth marketplace and not ghostwriting. Excuse me for the dog. I have a 5-month-old puppy who runs my life now. So I call it Twitter growth because like I have a Google sheet that tracks the cost of retweets from about a dozen accounts. And I know there's dozens more out there that I never even took the time to put on that sheet, or that have DM'd me or telegrammed me or whatever. And I would love to make that information public because I'm like, look, most of the ghostwriters already hate me because I told them they do shitty work. So it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah, I mean it's cheaper than most people think is I guess the correct way to summarize it. And I don't know what numbers you have in your sheet, but I've talked to many people and know a few people in the space, and I something you can get like for something like $50 you can get a lot, right? You can already get like several retweets from accounts with 100,000 followers.
Yeah. Yeah, the like personal accounts they cost a little more. Verified accounts cost about twice as much. But it's all out there. It's all game. You can buy anything if you look for it.
Yeah. But again, I mean, there's a discussion to be had about if there a way to do it like in an ethical way. But if you're really doing just a growth at all costs thing with like generic threats, like whatever, and then just paying for retweets, whatever, I don't know.
Hey, if you want to say I've got 10,000 Twitter followers, that's a really easy way to do it.
Yeah.
If you want to say I made $1 million off Twitter last year, that's not the way to do it.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect way to put it. I agree.
So I do want to make sure we talk about one other idea because I think it's the coolest idea maybe from like this is a business that you could scale very effectively. And it's a productized service in a niche most people don't think about. So accountability coaching. I think this could be entirely productized. If you look at My Body Tutor, that's a productized nutrition coaching service. You could take that exact same model, move it to accountability coaching, and charge the exact same prices. I bet you could do at least a 50% profit margin on that business and automate like 90% of the follow-up and accountability.
Can you summarize what they are doing for people who don't know the business?
Yeah, so they're a subscription service. I think it's $300 or $600 a month. And on the $300 level, they text you every day to find out what you're going to eat. And then they see what you log as what you eat. And then they check in and they like coach you on that. There's a one-time onboarding session as well. And then the $600 level, you actually get on the phone with somebody, a nutritionist every day, to talk through the same stuff.
Interesting. And how would you apply it? Like, would you focus on business stuff or just accountability in general for any kind of goal?
Probably business, because like for entrepreneurs as sort of a starting niche and indie hackers, I know this is a big need where like people say, I want to do these things, but they have no one holding them accountable. They've got no boss. And then they don't do those things every day. But they know there's like two or three things that if they did them every day, they'd make way more money. And they'd be way more successful. What are your two or three things that you know you should be doing every day that you don't do?
Good question. I actually like to think that I do everything that needs to be done, to be honest. For me, the challenge usually is more one of clarity and not of actually doing things, because if I know what I need to do, I have no problem doing it. Never. Like, this is not really an issue for me, but I know, of course, other people might have an issue with it. For me, it's really just like the clarity thing, like looking at all the options, everything, what I could be doing, and then picking the right thing. And yeah, like I said, if I know what to do, then I do it. No worries.
Okay. So are you sure?
I guess how can I find out if I'm not, right? So
yeah,
you could of course argue, maybe Jacob, you know what you have to do, but you're just inventing some bullshit story to procrastinate.
Yeah.
Maybe, probably.
I know very expensive executive coaches that base their entire like $1 million practice on that idea.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't help me, right? Because I'm still in the same place, because I still got to figure out what to do.
Right. You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. And I guess there's probably a need for another service. And it's funny, I talked to a friend who actually wants to start something along these lines as a service, as a productized service. And yeah, I'm very curious how it will play out for him. But yeah, like for me, it's really more the focus stuff. And what I told him, I told him the same thing. And what I think is very, very true is that when you're talking to someone, like to an outsider, and also when I'm talking to a friend or like a fellow entrepreneur, it's always or often very obvious what they should be doing. And it's just not obvious to them. And the same is true for me, right? Right. If I'm in the weeds, I'm just seeing all the things and I'm doing this. And if someone just looks at it from the outside, it usually very, very obvious that what are you doing? Your goal is this. So why are you wasting all your time doing this? and like this outside perspective, like a dose of reality every now and then can be like invaluable. And maybe this is like accountability coaching, but I don't know, more like also getting clarity.
Yeah, I think the clarity component is not something that I would include in this service. Yeah. But like, if you know you just need to send outreach and write a blog post every day,
yeah,
and you're not sending outreach and writing a blog post every day, then this is the service for you.
Yeah. Yeah. The clarity stuff is much, much harder, obviously.
Yeah.
This is, and yeah, it really goes like into this whole coaching, mentoring, whatever space. And that's, of course, like a different story. The only thing I would be like skeptical about is that indie hackers are not willing to pay. It's not a good market, I would argue.
That's a good point. I guess when I say indie hackers, I actually mean like entrepreneurs in the making. And I make that distinction because I don't think most indie hackers think big enough to be entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And like, I think bigger than most indie hackers, but now I have a mentor and he's like, Michael, you're thinking way too small. You need to be working on the $100 million stuff. You're just trying to make like $1 million a year. That's BS, man. Go do the real work. And so now I'm like, well, if I'm thinking too small, I know those guys are thinking too small. I think we all just need to think a lot bigger.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, it's one of the things I learned. I don't know if you know that, but I spent like the past decade in a very different world. So it's still a lot of things are very new for me. And I'm just really learning like these different levels, you know, making the first money independently is one level, then making $100 like every month and making $1,000. And there are really these levels. And most of it is really, like you said, mentally, like, you're still spending the same time and you're not really know more or have more skills, but your returns are very different simply because you start thinking differently about things and start to understand like, okay, it's super interesting. Yeah, I totally agree. People need to think bigger.
And I'm like, these days, the way I do it is like, if this is a small idea, but it's a good idea, I'm still going to pursue it, but I'm going to put that GM on it from day one. I'm going to have somebody else doing everything. I'm just going to tell them exactly what they need to do to get there. And I'm just looking for somebody who wants to do the work.
How do you find someone like that?
Ooh, that's, you talk with a lot of people. I know a lot of people are like, don't do partnerships ever. I'm just like, yeah, let's jump into a partnership tomorrow. If you said like, hey, let's take one of these ideas to market, I'd be like, boom, let's go. I've got an LOI ready. We'll figure out the details later. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm the same way, but in my experience, most people aren't. Most people are very, very hesitant. And I don't know, they are always like afraid that they get screwed over. And you really don't want to talk, like want to work with people who are that skeptical from day one. And if it's someone like you, I totally agree. If you can find these kind of people who just say, okay, let's do this and we figure out the stuff later, it all will work out, whatever. And I've always made like good experiences with this approach. And yeah.
Oh, I've been screwed over tons of times.
Really?
Oh yeah. I can think of at least 5 times where my partner has like either forced me out of the deal, lied in a way that made the business materially impossible to continue, or tanked the business through bad actions that they shouldn't have done based on their level of experience. And like,
and but still you're positive.
I've been doing it for 10 years. I've also had wins that way. I'm not going to stop doing it. I don't really want to run businesses alone that much.
Yeah.
That's kind lonely. Of boring. Yeah, it's lonely. It's boring. I would rather just have a partner.
Yeah, it's super powerful to have someone to bounce ideas off and just lift each other up. But again, it also can work in the wrong direction if you pick the wrong person. Like if you can also very much pull each other down. I just noticed we're running out of time.
Oh, wow.
Like that was fast, but maybe we need to do like a second.
Anytime.
Yeah.
This is talking this super business fun. Ideas is my favorite thing.
Let's do a second episode.
Awesome.
Speak soon.
Yep. Bye now.
Bye-bye.